हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो यस्टरडे वी कंप्लीटेड दी टॉक्ड अबाउट दिस सेवेंथ चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद्गीता विच इज नोन एज दी ज्ञान ज्ञान योगम इसन इट नॉलेज ऑफ दी एब्सोल्यूट। कृष्ण सेज Prabhupada has given the title as Knowledge of the Absolute. So, in that chapter, in that seventh chapter, Krishna is mentioned about the nature of the Absolute Truth. That's what we saw there, isn't it? Parapragrati and Aparapragrati. And very categorically, Krishna says to us, we belong to the Parapragrati. Our nature is, by nature is, we are Parapragrati. But because we are trapped in the aparaprakriti, in the lower nature, aparaprakriti, we are identifying with the aparaprakriti, which means my body, mind, intelligence, false ego, these are all part of the aparaprakriti. These are all part of the aparaprakriti. Krishna also mentioned there, this aparaprakriti, if you take shelter of aparaprakriti, you have to suffer. There is no other way except to not to take shelter of aparaprakriti is what Krishna has mentioned there. You can see the examples like in aparaprakriti, we have identification with aparaprakriti very strongly, isn't it? We take shelter of many things in this world, thinking that there is shelter here, shelter there. Family life, society, country, so many things we take shelter. And we even also we take shelter of this body. But where we have the greatest attachment, more than anything else, it is in this body, isn't it? We will give up everything else in this world for the sake of the body, if you want to protect yourself, isn't it? And that under all circumstances, the most valuable thing we will try to protect is ourselves first. After that, other things matters in life. So Krishna is saying there, if you can't trust this body even, why do you trust other things? So-called society, family, this and that. When your own body you can't trust, because this body will collapse one day and go. And you are taking so much care and attention for this body, and the body will cheat you one day. This body will cheat you one day. So where you have put so much faith in this body and you are trying to get some satisfaction from that, thinking, hoping that if I can keep somehow this body going, at least I'll survive through. This is what is Krishna calls as the Maya. This is the Maya. Maya is this. That putting faith in something which doesn't have any reality, Now, we, for the sake of the body which is changing, we take shelter of the world which is changing. Is it not? For the sake of the body, due to ignorance, identification with the body. And to protect this body which is changing, again we are going and taking shelter of the world which is also changing. Is it not? Something, anything that is changing in Krishna's eyes has no existence. This is the fundamental thing. Anything that is going through a change has no existence. Because Parinamam, if you remember, Prahlada spoke about this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the seventh canto. He talks about the nature of the soul, nature of the body. Nature of the body is these six kinds of changes happens to the body, isn't it? Parinama Bhedam, Shad Parinama, six different kinds of changes. So as long as something is changing, that has no reality as far as Krishna is concerned. That thing which is not changing, the soul inside, that is the reality. That is, throughout Bhagavatam, you will use, there you will see the word used is Satyam. The word used is Satyam. That is Satyam. The Bhagavatam begins with that Satyam Param Dhimahi. Bhagavatam finishes with Satyam Param Dhimahi. When Brahma came to glorify Krishna, and when Krishna was in the Devagi, how did he glorify? Satyavradam, Satyabaram, Trisatyam, Satyanja Satyam, Nihidanja Satye, Satyasya Yonim, Kṛta-satya-netram satyātmanam tvam sharanam prapannāha. That verse, right in the middle of Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami brought this again, referring to that truth, the soul, as the only satyam. There is no other satyam here. Everything else is false. That is why satyam param dhimahi, Bhagavatam begins, Bhagavatam finishes, satyam param dhimahi. In the middle also, Brahma has only one thing to say. Satyavradam, satyaparam, trisatyam. We have seen that verse when we discussed that, isn't it? Satyavradam, satyaparam, trisatyam, satyasya satyam, nihitam ja satye, satyasya satyam, hrita satyanetram, satyalpagam, tvam sharanam pramannaha. So there, when she talked about satyam, what is satyam? Satyam is this paraprakriti, the soul. That is the only satyam in this whole creation. Everything else is Maya's world. Maya dominates everything. You can't take a shelter of anything in this world which is under Maya's control. If we don't understand these things, what will happen? We'll go and take shelter of something false and then suffer from that. Later on, Maya will teach you. If you don't learn yourself, Maya will one day take the stick and beat on our head and tell us, now you learn yourself. There's no other way. Because shelter is only in Krishna, nowhere else in the soul. That's where only the shelter is. Nor is nowhere else any shelter in this creation. To get to that conclusion, Krishna spoke about that so many verses in that seventh chapter. That's what we were talked about yesterday also. But sometimes we don't want to know that. That is the problem. When you say these things to sometimes, some people don't want to know that. They think, oh, you're telling us that you shouldn't take shelter. Well, it is a fact that you take shelter of anything in this world. Anything, doesn't matter. Including your own body, you can't take shelter. What to talk about others? This body will cheat you. What to talk about others? Others will definitely cheat you one day. When your body can cheat you, to for whom you are sacrificing your whole time and energy in this life to look after this body, and that body will one day say goodbye to you and go and give you a lot of pain and trouble before he goes, isn't it? A certain situation can happen in life when you are put into such awkward conditions physically. All you are praying for is to go from here. You are not thinking about that body anymore. A stage can happen in sometimes in life. That is why this fundamentals of Bhagavad Gita has to be very, very clear in the mind. Otherwise, we will be completely baffled when bad experiences comes in life. This will happen. When we put our faith in the wrong place and continue our spiritual life in a way we like it, think is right, at some point in time, Maya will hit you very hard on the very place where you have developed shelter or where you have developed attachment. That's where she will hit you. To prove it to you that it is the wrong decision you have made. You took the wrong shelter, wrong place, wrong shelter, and the result is that. And what happens at that time? You get completely baffled by that. And when you get baffled, what happens? It is too late then to change. Because you have taken shelter of that for so long a time. This happens in all everybody's life at some point or the other. So all these things Krishna has spoken in that seventh chapter. And he wanted us to realize this. The absolute thing is the soul. Is the soul. And knowledge of that soul is important. Is important. That's why Krishna titled it as knowledge of the absolute. Knowledge of the absolute. And at the end of that chapter, Krishna began that chapter with asakti. Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagrammam yathajnasati tachranu. That's how he begins that chapter, isn't it? We're talking about our asakti or attachment in this world. And eventually Krishna concluded that verse, jaramarana mokshaya mamashrite yadandiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyalpam karma jagulam. We have seen all that yesterday. So that seventh chapter begins actually generally referred to as the Jnana-Vijnana Yoga, knowledge of the absolute. Now, as you know, the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita is generally referred to bhakti, isn't it? Referred to as the bhakti chapters, the six chapters in the middle. So, but interestingly enough, the seventh chapter begins with this Jnanam and Vijnanam. So you can also see Krishna has given a lot of importance to that knowledge of the absolute even in the bhakti process. Even in the, while talking about bhakti also, Krishna wants to stress that point of the knowledge. Because if these fundamentals are not clear, even the bhakti process can go haywire. It can go in any strange way. You may misunderstand so many things and engage in so many false ideas and live your life like that. Because it should not happen. Krishna wanted to put it as, keep us on the track properly. He spoke that seventh chapter there itself, in the beginning of the bhakti chapters. Now, after that, the eighth chapter is what is known as Akshara Brahma Yogam, which is the attaining the supreme. Now, that chapter is a yoga process, which is the yoga process. And it is a process of the Akshara Brahma Yogam. Aksharam, Aksharam, Aksharam. We are Aksharam and Aksharam is the super soul inside. Different names are used at different places, that's all it is. Basically, it's referring to same thing. So, Aksharam Purusha, Akshara Purusha, we will see later on in the 15th chapter, when we discuss yoga of the Supreme Person. There it will come. So, that Aksharam Purusha, what is talked about, his activities, all those things are discussed in the 8th chapter, which is known as the Akshara Brahma Yogam or Taraka Brahma Yogam. Different names you will see in the different publications. Gita Press, it's also this Akshara Brahma Yogam. And also Taraka Brahma Yogam it is called. The influence power of Om, power of the letter Om. Because in the 7th chapter, Krishna mentions there, in the Vedas, I am the letter Om, isn't it? So the importance of Om and the Om's process of realization through what is known as Omkara Upasana. Omkara Upasana means how through chanting the Om mantra, one comes to the self-realization. That is all discussed in that 8th chapter. Then in the 9th chapter, which is the one of the important chapters, is the what is called? Yeah, most confidential knowledge. Most confidential, but very open. Isn't it? It is the most confidential knowledge, Krishna says, and it is spoken very openly to the whole world. Why is it like that? In the Upanishads, and particularly in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you will notice one thing, that it is called Rajavidya Rajaguhyam. Rajayogam it is called. This Rajavidya or Rajaguhyam, Krishna is saying, Pavitram, it's very pure. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukham kartum avyayam. The beauty of that yoga system is, Rajayogam is, Krishna says, that even if I speak to you, you won't get it. So it will remain, as far as you are concerned, it is still a secret. Till you experience that, what Krishna has spoken in the 9th chapter, it is a mystery, isn't it? Till you experience it, it is a mystery. And that is why it is called, it is confidential. Not that, normally when we say something confidential, suppose I don't want to tell something to somebody, I don't want him to know, then I'll keep it confidential to myself. But Krishna is not keeping anything confidential. Krishna is saying to the whole world what he wants to say. But he says it's very confidential. The meaning of that is that till you realize this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, in that chapter, till you realize it, it's a mystery for you, for me, for everybody. So it is still a confidential thing. That is what that 9th chapter is about. Krishna calls it as Rajavidya, the king of knowledge, and Rajaguhyam, and most confidential, he says. That's why it's called most confidential knowledge. Confidential is because of this, that till you realize that knowledge has no meaning to you. It is just words, that's all. Isn't it? So because it is like that, Krishna says, Krishna knows how to keep something in confidential from us. He is telling us and says, it's very confidential. So what to do? When Krishna is doing like these kind of tricks with us, he is telling us it's very confidential, and he is telling you also, and you are completely perplexed about it. Why is it so confidential? It's not confidential in that sense. What it means is that till you realize it, it will remain as a confidential thing for every one of us. So, Rajavidya Rajaguhyam, that was that Rajayogam that was discussed, one of the most important chapters. That's why right in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, that chapter was spoken. After that, hearing that ninth chapter, Arjuna felt that he was very much excited about that chapter, the ninth chapter. And if you look into the tenth chapter, you will see the questions that's coming from Arjuna. Arjuna wanted to know from Krishna, where should I start? Where should I start my life? Where I will get that kind of relationship with you, with Krishna? This was the question Arjuna has asked. When Krishna heard that from Arjuna, Krishna sensed that Arjuna is very much wants to start from the very basic. Very basic. And it is then that to seeing Krishna in every living entity is not an easy thing. It's not very easy thing. So somewhere we have to start with. And the easiest thing is for one whose attention is always in the world, who has not developed the habit of inward looking nature, or who hasn't got that reflective nature in him, who considers this world as very important and gives a lot of value to this world and the life in this world, like Arjuna was, Krishna decided to start with Arjuna with this what is known as Vibhuti Yogam. That is how Vibhutis were spoken. All the Vibhuti. First, Arjuna, he says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you start seeing me in all these different places. And so number of Vibhutis were spoken there. Krishna mentions there, isn't it? Who is Krishna is? Among the rivers, I am Ganga River. Among the waters, I am the ocean. Like this, among the warriors, I am Skanda. Among the... there's a list of them, which we have discussed also in Bhagavatam previous chapter. So because we have discussed that, I would not like to repeat that now. We'll continue with this Bhagavad Gita. Because after Vibhuti Yogam, what happened in Bhagavad Gita is very, very important. Because from then on, it is serious talk. Very, very serious talk. Vibhuti was spoken to convince Arjuna that, Arjuna, if you want to see me, you don't have to go anywhere else. I am here in this world. You observe me properly, then you will find me there. So all these things he mentions there. And at the end of that, Krishna mentions there, at the end of that Vibhuti chapter, that Arjuna, if you see the whole creation, it is my Vibhuti. Vibhuti means it's my opulence. Everything is my opulence. There is nothing in this world which is outside me. So everything is my Vibhuti. But still, in certain objects, you will find me. Or certain personalities, you will find me. In certain sound vibrations, you will find me. My presence will be felt more than in other places. So wherever you find yadyad vibhudimat sattvam srimad urjidam evava tatta devava gachatvam mama tejomsha sambhavam. Krishna is saying, wherever you see a somewhere extraordinary anything in this world, beauty, strength, opulences, or knowledge, renunciation, all these things, wherever you find something extraordinary, unusually, take it that it is my Vibhuti. That is the first thing. Yadyad vimudimat sattvam srimad urjidame vava tatta devavagachattvam mama tejomsha sambhavam. Whatever you find there, it is my tejas. That spark is from me. It's coming from me. Like you can see, Krishna mentions earlier also, that in this world, we find some extraordinary qualities in certain people, isn't it? Great abilities we see in so many places. Krishna is saying that is not his, it is me who is there showing my nature there through that person. That's all. Srimad Urjidam Evava Tatta Devava Gachatvam Mama Teja Amsha Sambhavam. He says it is coming from my tejas. It is from me it has come. That those who have understood this, accepted this, and those who are operating with this understanding, they are the pure devotees. They see that anything that is happening through them, it is Krishna is doing that. They will recognize that from the very beginning itself. It is Krishna who is doing everything. Because something wonderful things may happen in life sometimes. And when that wonderful things happen, they start thinking, I wasn't capable of doing all these things on my own. How did this happen then? That is Krishna's that vibhuti manifesting through them. Vibhuti manifesting through them. Ejamsha sambhavam. But ultimately Krishna is saying, I have spoken a lot of vibhuti, but practically there is only one vibhuti you should take note of very seriously. What does Krishna says? That he says there, that Krishna says, aham alpa guda kesha sarva bhuda shaya sthida aham adyanja mandyanja bhudana mandame vaja. Krishna is saying, Arjuna, the greatest vibhuti, greatest opulence is that I am present in everybody. In every living entity, my presence. That is the greatest vibhuti. Is it not an amazing thing that Krishna is present in everyone's heart, is present there. And this vibhuti, you can't find in anything else. You may find so many other vibhutis in this world. Krishna talked about many other vibhutis before, isn't it? But there is no other vibhuti as powerful as this, what is spoken in this verse. Aham Atma Gudakesha, I am the soul of everyone, present in everyone as the soul. Sarva Bhudashaya Sthita, in every living entity. What else? Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. I am the beginning, I am the middle, and the end of all. And the end of all. It is in the 10th chapter. I don't know which number it is. You can look at it. Aham Atma Gudakesha, Sarva Bhudashaya Sthita. Aham adhyanja madhyanja bhutanam andamevacham. That living entity, jiva, he has in a particular state, he is going through so many, 20? Yeah. Verse 20. So, aham alpa gudagesha sarvabhudashaya sthida aham adhyanja madhyanja bhutanam andamevacha. Krishna is saying there. So, you can see, I am the self, O Gudakesha, seated in hearts of all creatures. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. This is the most important and the greatest vibhuti of Krishna. Krishna's greatest vibhuti is this. That's what he's saying there. That there is nothing addressing Arjuna, he says to him, I am the self, as the soul present in everyone, seated in the hearts of all creatures, in everyone's heart. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Krishna has spoken there. So this vibhuti Krishna has spoken in that verse, how is that present in us? Present in us that when we become conscious of that vibhuti's presence inside, aham, aham asmi, aham asmi, I am there, I am there. That realization, this ticking going on inside the heart, of Krishna's presence there, that is present there in all of us in the form of consciousness, isn't it? Remember this consciousness word, soul's manifestation inside the body. The only way of realizing it and always making us aware of that presence is through consciousness, is it not? And that is one thing which never leaves us any time. I may not be aware of everybody else's existence. Suppose all the lights have gone away and I've closed my eyes. I may not be aware of everyone's existence. But my own existence, my own awareness, I can never lose it. It's there all the time, isn't it? In the waking state, in the dream state, in the deep sleep, that exists. That exists. You may ask the question in the deep sleep, how do you know you are not aware of that? No, I'm not aware of in the deep sleep. But what's happening is, as soon as I woke up, I get this report from the deep sleep state that I had a great happiness at that time. That reporting back is done by that. It's not from the intelligence, because intelligence is deeply covered with tamogunam at that time. Ignorance is covering at that time. So you don't experience at that time. That is the main thing. So, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states. And throughout our life, from beginning to end, this awareness or consciousness never goes away. And even after leaving this body, that follows us is this I am, I am. That never leaves us. So, practically you can see that this is the greatest vibhuti, and in everyone except this, there is no place in this world where the soul is not present. present. Soul is present in everything. But in some places, the soul manifests more powerful, more very powerful way. And it is easier to see Krishna's presence there. Therefore, describing all these vibhuti, Krishna has started this 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Talking all this vibhuti about Krishna, he started this 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And it is a yoga process. If you have not understood this yoga process, this universal form will be seen by people like a Purana story. You know, in Purana, certain unbelievable stories are there, isn't it? When you read Puranam, you will find certain unbelievable stories. Now, if anybody asks you how to explain that story, it will be very hard, very, very hard. Like Puranas will say the mountains used to fly in the sky, they had wings to fly, and some demon has cut all the wings off, the mountains fell in some places. Like this, there are so many explanations in the Puranam, various things. Like that, which we, if you just have to either believe it or you don't believe it. That's all you can do. There's no way of verifying it, is it? You can't verify them, whether the mountains were all flying one day with the wings on. If you say like that, ordinary people who have no interest in Krishna consciousness, they will say, well, you can read that book. I don't want to read it. They will say it to you straight away, isn't it? So, Purana stories are like that. There are many things in the Puranam spoken in that way. If you read all that Puranam and you start creating your faith on that basis, sometimes it will be very difficult. Because very nature of Puranam is like that. So, Krishna says here, this universal form chapter, this Vishwarupa Darshanam, Vishwarupam, Krishna's Vishwarupam we are seeing, universal form we are seeing. And if you have not understood the principle of this universal form, it is quite possible that you may think it is like a Purana story. Like a Purana story, it will appear like that to anybody. To anyone will feel, otherwise you have to accept it out of pure faith. Oh, Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna. Arjuna has seen the universal form. He got so frightened. He told Krishna, withdraw that form. I don't want to see you like this. Krishna didn't like that. You will, that much you can understand from that level. But what is the significance? Because in Bhagavad Gita, you don't find anything spoken like in the Purana style. Everything Krishna is up to the point and straight. Right from the second chapter, when Krishna started speaking, he talks about the soul. He talks about what is permanent and what is temporary. He talked about the process by which one can free oneself from the bondage of karma. He spoke about the effect of karma on everyone, karma vasana, everything. Everything is very scientifically spoken. So far, up to this point, everything is spoken very scientifically. Now, scientifically means something which you can accept without any further difficulty. If you are a little bit reasonable person, whatever Krishna has spoken up to this point should not be an issue at all. Because it's not bringing any stories from the past or anything. It is straight the truth, isn't it? Straight truth is spoken to Arjuna like that. But this chapter has a lot to do with the yoga process. And if you do not understand that yoga side of it, what will happen is, this whole thing will appear as though it is a Purana story. Very difficult to believe that. Somebody is standing there, suddenly manifests a lot of heads, legs, arms, everywhere, all over the body. And fire is coming from some mouth, and from some mouth somebody is going in, and some mouth somebody is coming out. That picture what they have presented in the Bhagavad Gita, as you know, you have seen that picture of the universal form. And to a large extent, that is also representing the verses what is written in the Bhagavad Gita. But if you simply see the picture and the verses and start studying that chapter, it will appear to you as though it is an amazing thing, we will say. But we don't want to discuss anything more than that because we don't understand it. That is the fact behind that verse, behind that chapter. That is why it's mentioned in the last chapter, in the verse 42 of the 10th chapter, Krishna tatraja vistabhyam idam krishnam egam shena stido jagat. There is a verse prior in the, these are all connected each other. Only if you know the subtleties of those verses, you will start appreciating the universal form better. You will start appreciating the universal form better. So there Krishna says, Bhagavato Vibhudaya Uktaha, that all the vibhudis were spoken, and then he says, Tatraya Vishtabhyaham Idam Kratsnam Ekam Shaina Stido Jagat. Arjuna, whole creation is me, only me, present in everything. Ekam Shaina Stido Jagat. And what you are experiencing here is only a small part, one small part. Ekam Shaina Stido Jagat. So, Idi Bhagavada Abhihidam Shrutva. Yad jagad alpa rupam adhyam aishwaryam tat sakshal kartham ichchan Arjuna vacha. That knowing very well that Bhagavadabhihidam shrutva, when he Krishna, Arjuna heard this from Krishna, Arjuna heard this from Krishna, yad jagad atma rupam, that Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, this whole creation is me. And this is shocking to Arjuna. Whole creation is me, Krishna is saying. Idam jagad alparubam. See, it's a soul. Actually, only soul exists. Nothing else exists. Adhyam aishwaram tal sakshal kartam ichan. That seeing this opulence of Krishna, what is that, this creation, opulence of Krishna? Ichan Arjuna vacha. Arjuna started asking questions to Krishna. Arjuna started asking questions to Krishna. And that is how Bhagavado Vibhudaya Ukta. First, Arjuna heard Krishna's Vibhudi. Vibhudi means opulences. And then Tatraja Vishtabhyaham Idam Krishnam Egam Shaina Stido Jagat. And there Krishna mentioned to Arjuna, only by a fraction of my power I support this whole creation. And when Arjuna heard that, he got more shock. So what is this Krishna doing? He's standing here and he's telling me that only by a fraction of his power. Ekam Shaina Stido Jagat. This whole creation he is maintaining. And Idi, that is the 42nd verse. If you look the translation there, you will see. In the 10th chapter, 42nd verse.
Athava bahuneitena kimyatvena tava arjuna vistabhyahamidam krishnam ekam shena stito jagat. Athava bahuneitena kimyatvena tava arjuna vistabhyahamidam krishnam ekam shena stito jagat.
This verse completely shook Arjuna. Krishna say, after discussing this, including the 41st verse, where he said, know that all beautiful, glorious and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. Yaddad vibhuti matsattvam srimad urjitam evava tattad evavagachattvam mama tejamsha sambhavam. Where Krishna says to Arjuna, know that all beautiful, glorious and mighty creations spring from about but a spark of my splendor. Spark of my splendor. Now, you can read that verse and say, well, Krishna is great, he can do all these things. He can make a comment like that and leave like that. But you don't know what is Krishna is talking about, isn't it? You can easily make many things in Bhagavad Gita if you keep on accepting like that. Bhagavad Gita is not to be accepted like that. Bhagavad Gita is a science, it is. It's a science of the soul. There is a very, very intimate connection between the 10th chapter and the 11th chapter. How the 11th chapter was spoken? Because of the 10th chapter. When Krishna spoke about all the vibhudis to Arjuna, Arjuna was completely not getting anywhere. Krishna is saying, I am this, I am this, I am this, I am this. Instead of saying, then ultimately Krishna started sensing that Arjuna is not understanding anything what I am saying. So he put this verse to Arjuna, saying that everything, wherever you find beautiful, glorious and mighty creations, spring from a spark of my splendor. When Krishna said that, Arjuna got more confused. He got more confused. He started thinking, it's a spark of my splendor, he says. So who is this Krishna who is standing next to me? Till now, Arjuna is still thinking he is my friend. He has told him to drive the chariot. He has treated him exactly like a friend. And who is telling me standing there, this whole creation is a spark of my splendor. So Arjuna is getting confused. And it was then that Krishna put the bomb, the next verse. Athava bahuneidena kim yatvena tava arjuna vishtabhyahamidam krishnam egamshena astito jagat. But what need is there, Arjuna? Krishna is seeing that Arjuna is not able to come to terms with it, what he was saying. He's not able to understand. He's just standing there and blinking. What is he saying? That. So he says here, what is there to say, Arjuna, any more than this? All this detailed knowledge, it's not going to help you very much. Why? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Pervade and support this egam shena stido jagat. With a single fragment of myself, that is that egam shenam. Egamsha means only a very part of me, I support this whole thing. In order to make Arjuna who Krishna is, Krishna has spoken that. And still it would not go in. Arjuna thought he is making some statements which is not practically, I don't understand that, how Krishna can make a statement like this. Because that was the relationship at that time, isn't it? Between Krishna and Arjuna, the relationship was like that. So if somebody, you have told everything, and somebody is not able to understand it, then what is the next thing to do? If it is a child, you can beat him and tell him, you accept it from me. I'm telling you that this is it. If he's still obstinate, Arjuna is a grown-up person. You can't show any more to him anything, can't beat him like that. He's his friend also. So Krishna thought now, he is not able to understand whatever I have spoken. The whole 10 chapter, 42 verses I have spoken to him in the middle of Kurukshetra, in the battlefield. And still he is not accepting it, what I am. He is still thinking of me, I am like him, another person who has come to help him in this battlefield. So let me show him what I am. It is in that mood this universal form has come. Universal form was shown with this background. Because when somebody is not believing you, what do? You tell anything, everything what you can. Some people are like that in this world, isn't it? No matter what you tell them, they won't believe it. They'll keep on doubting. Skepticism or something they call it, isn't it? Very skeptical. No matter what you say to them, they'll say, well, that's okay, but they'll say. So that kind of person, or Arjuna also has in that state. Of course, what Krishna has spoken is something very difficult to believe also. Krishna is saying this standing there, by a fragment of my power, I'm supporting this whole universe. Krishna is saying that. And he's standing there inside the universe and saying this. So it's all confusing to Arjuna, isn't it? So that is why this particular chapter, universal form, has been spoken with a lot of thoughts behind it. And as we go through this chapter, you will notice that where it's coming from. Krishna's opulence is unlimited. We don't understand Krishna. Maya has kept us in such a way that you will never understand Krishna. You will think of him as Krishna says, Ajo-bisan-navyayalma bhudanam-ishwaro-bisan prakritim-swamadhishtaya sambhavam-yalpamayaya. Krishna says earlier, isn't it? Ajo-bisan-navyayalma, I have no birth. But if you want to celebrate my birthday, you can. But I have no birth. Avyayalpa, there is no change happens in me like you. You change your body, I don't change my body. Bhudanam Ishwaro Bhisan, in all living entities, I am present inside them, controlling their destiny all the time. Isn't it? Ishwara Sarva Bhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. Same thing. Bhudanam Ishwaro Bhisan, Prakritim Swam Adhishtayam. This material nature, Adhishtanam, is me. I am the Adhishtanam, I am the basis on which the material nature is functioning. Sambhavami Alpamayayam. But when I come, I bring with me this Alpamaya. Yogamaya's presence is with me, and in her presence, I carry my business. I do all the business here. She does everything, but I am behind it. This is that statement from Krishna before. Now, all these things in the Bhagavad Gita, when you read, you will wonder that how do I get to, because our nature, we have got this thing called mind inside, isn't it? The mind. And this mind will try to measure everything. It will try to measure Krishna also. That's what the mind does first thing. It will try to measure everything and it will try to measure Krishna also. And wants to bring Krishna within the capacity of the mind. Remember this word mind, mayam. Mayam means to measure. Measuring everything is the nature of the mind. So because it is like that, when Krishna speaks something like that, the mind will step in and will start to measure that. Oh, Krishna is saying all these things. So if he says this creation is so, how big is the creation? And how much control Krishna has got over the creation? This way mind will go. Mind will go. Intelligence and mind will work together and it will confuse the whole thing. That's why we say, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, if there is a Shravana Dosham, Shravana Dosham means while hearing, if there is any defect inside, it is this. This mind and intelligence gets in and start and make pollute everything. Anything touched by the mind will be polluted, will be impure, is impure. So that is this problem here. So here you can see if the yoga system, if we have not understood, this Vishwarupa Darshanam will be like a Puranam, will be like a Puranam. So practically you have to remember, a living entity, Jiva, his spiritual journey you have to analyze first. The spiritual journey of a Jiva. A Jiva, when does he start his spiritual life? How does it progress? How does it end? All these things, if you know, understand, then you will understand this chapter properly. Otherwise, it is very difficult to understand this chapter. So, in the Upanishads, particularly in Vedantam also, that first thing what happens to a person in life is that a desire develops inside that I should develop my life in a proper direction, in the right direction, a thought occurring in a person. Normally, most of the people don't think like that, isn't it? Never anyone thinks about utilizing this life for a higher purpose, isn't it? Most of us, what is life here? Make a lot of money, enjoy a lot of life and get out from here when the time is over. This is the basic principle. There is no any goal of life or anything like that. Society is telling you that you have to make a lot of money first. And then society is also telling you should enjoy life. There's a lot of opportunity given, business opportunities given there. Make money, enjoy life, and then go, whatever happens will happen. In that process, trouble yourself a lot, give a lot of trouble to others also, and don't bother about anything, and go away from here. That is one way of life. But a person who has thought about life seriously, and who has come to the conclusion that I have to make something best out of this life. Let me not get completely trapped in this business going on in this world like everybody else. If such a thought develops in anyone at any time, that is called in the Shastra a Shubhecha, a desire for an auspicious beginning, in other words. Something to begin, something auspicious in life. That is a great step in the life, to happen that, to happen in one's life. It's an important step in one's life to happen. To take our attention away from this life in this world and to think about who I am, where am I going, what is the purpose of this life. If such thoughts are building up in a person's heart, you can take it that he is moving in the first step, he has put the first step in the right direction. First step in the right direction. That's where it begins. So, in order that to happen first, a person has to suffer a lot in this world, otherwise it won't happen. It's not something you can get by education. Education won't happen. Normally education won't help that. Education, what happens is, when you do educated in spiritual life, what happens is normally, like we get educated in the college and the university and all that, same way we will capture the Shastram also and keep it in the head. Like we spoke about yesterday. Practically, there is no difference whether you keep it in the computer, you keep it in the textbook, or you keep it in the head. There is no difference. All three are in the same category. As far as spiritual life is concerned, is no difference at all. That we must remember. When does that benefit you, benefit any one of us is, when that knowledge, whatever we have heard or read or studied, if it has practically realized inside, then it means something. Otherwise, it has no meaning. Remember the story we spoke about, Hribhu and the Nighada story yesterday. The same story. So, most of the people in spiritual life, When they come, the idea is, first of all, read a lot of books, and from there they'll pick up something here and there, and they'll keep it in their heads. But as far as realization is concerned, sometimes even 1%, 2%, 5% will be the realization compared to the information he has collected. Lot of information may have collected, but the realization of that information, what he has collected, will be practically very little in his own life. So here, what happens is that in order that realization to happen, there are certain requirements in this world. That is where Krishna is saying there that this desire has happened. When does that desire happen? Desire happen when one suffers in this world. You go through a lot of miseries in this world, you will start thinking, why am I suffering like this? Why am I going through this all the time? And you also will start experiencing at that time, this world is temporary. This world is temporary. That realization will come. This is the first step. So that distress that has come, you will experience that and continuously experience that. It is giving you so much distress in life that your attachment or asakti towards other people, other objects, that will leave you at that time. All great devotees, great realized souls, they have walked through this fire. They had to walk through this fire. Great, great personalities whom we consider spiritually very elevated and spiritually realized, if you read through their life in this world, you will notice one thing. The fire they have gone through in their either family life or in the official life or in their spiritual life even, what they had to walk through. Even in the Krishna consciousness, you can look into all the personalities. Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, what they had to go through. When they came and saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what was the state of their mind? How they presented themselves to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying to him that, I don't know who I am. That's what he starts beginning, isn't it? Conversation. I don't know who I am, but everybody is telling me I am very learned. This is how he is saying. Everybody says to me, I am learned. But the funny thing is, I don't know who I am. His state of mind, you can read from that statement. He had to serve those king or qasis or whoever that rulers were at that time, and totally depressed with the situation. Because, as we said, got a very good birth and had all the ingredients necessary for self-realization. But material nature has put them in that situation, they had to serve such people. And this, the Nawab who were employing them, he was using them for expanding his empire, utilizing them. And they know this very well, that they were using Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami because they were intelligent people. So he was using them in his exploitation of others. You can imagine how frustrated he could be in that. Only a person who has got some sensitivity will recognize these things. Otherwise, what we will do, we'll also join, let us make as much money as we can from that. But because they are sensible people, they have got that sense and intelligence to think what's going on here in the administration with this with this Nawab. All he is doing is using us to control the population, and in that process, Krishna has given me a birth of a Brahmana body, Brahmana Shariram, which I am meant for self-realization, and I am engaged in this cheap business. This is that higher thought that is developed in them, which forced them one day to come out of that control and escape from there. Due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, they escaped from there and came out of that. Isn't it? So, Krishna's arrangement is in this world, when one comes to that state, Krishna is there for making the proper arrangement also. But because they were great personalities, Krishna himself has protected them and looked after them and brought them out from that situation. From then on, if you read Sanatana Goswami's life, you will see particularly that because he carried some coins with him, that he felt that he was not qualified for spiritual life. He threw that, gave it off, that also. Later on, when he was carrying a good blanket, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at him and told him that why are you, is that your blanket or something? He asked the question. Immediate response, he sensed that I have attachment there. And he handed over that blanket and took a torn blanket somewhere, picked up. So this is the state where you start your spiritual life. This is where proper spiritual life starts there. We do a lot of things saying that we are all in spiritual, I got initiated, I got this, I got that, got the name. That's another story. But if you look into these great devotees' life, you will see there how their spiritual life has started. You will observe this. It is true with all the devotees. It's not only with Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami. Mirabai had to go through fire, isn't it? In her household life was a total, it was just a burning fire all the time. Take for example, these are all devotees all over the country, you can look. Jnaneshwar, Namadev, Tukaram, none of them had any peaceful life in this world. They lived such a life of all great, great devotees, but their personal life in this world was total, from our point of view, is a total catastrophe, isn't it? Great, great distress in many, many ways. Tukaram and his wife firing him left, right and center all the time. She took live through that. Poor Tukaram. Jnaneshwar, the beginner of all the tradition in that Sant Parambara, he was the greatest personality through whom Jnaneshwari had come into this world. That Jnaneshwar had to be completely rejected by the society of that society of those days. They rejected him because he was born out of a marriage. The father has become a sannyasi and then he got married and 4 children were born. So the Brahmana community will not even accept them in the Brahminical community. So community has rejected. You can imagine how it is when community rejects you, how they feel. They must, even today, how people feel when the community rejects them. Isn't it? That's why somehow we stick to the community at any cost. We don't want to leave the community. Even though the community is giving you pain day and night, still you won't leave the community. You'll hold on to that community. So that's the life here. So, so unfortunately, in that society, Jnaneshwar, Muktabai, Sopan, and all that, 4 brothers, 3 brothers and a sister, great personalities they were, great devotees. You can't believe how great Jnaneshwar was. At the age of 16, presented this Jnaneshwari to this world and left this world. So from there you can understand Jnaneshwari's position. Jnaneshwari is that great personality who made the buffalo to chant the Veda. That is the type of person he is. Buffalo could chant the Veda. Brahmanas invited him and started rebuking him. And normally Jnaneshwar won't show any such thing. It is unusual for him to. So, and there was a Muslim who was bringing a buffalo through that way. Brahmanas were joking with him. You say you have studied the Vedas because they wanted the Upanayanam ceremony to be performed. And they wanted these Brahmanas to help, but they won't help. They won't cooperate with him. So they started asking him such awkward questions. And finding out from him, what does he know about the Shastram? He said, I have studied all the Shastram and I understand what it is saying and Shastram do support my position. I am entitled for Upanayanam. He had to convince the Brahmana community. So Brahmana community were teasing him at that time. This is, you can read all this in the internet. It's all there, fortunately. Yeah. So he says to him, they say to him, that can this buffalo will chant the Vedas? He says, yes, yes, it can. Because that's also Brahmam. Brahmam should be able to chant the Veda, he says. You should be able to chant. And the buffalo started chanting the Veda, and the Brahmanas were in a shock. And the Muslim who brought this buffalo there, he says, you can have this buffalo, I don't want this. And he hands over the rope which was carrying the buffalo to Jnaneshwar. He says, you take this rope now. I don't want. And he wanted to leave the place straight away, escape from there. So these are the personalities. And if you look into their life, what they had to go through. With such a high state of Krishna consciousness, Jnaneshwar, at such an early age, Jnaneshwari, if you read Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam, Jnaneshwari's Bhashyam, it is so well known that from Jnanam, Vairagyam, Bhakti, in all levels, it is on a very higher level. Very, very higher level. that Bhagavad Gita's explanations, what Ganeshwara has given, is so well known. And anyway, what the point is, that everybody has to go through distress. That distress is the beginning of spiritual life. And when that distress comes, it will develop into some serious thoughts in mind. Thinking about what life is meant for. Why are we here? Why are we here? All these questions come from that distress. It originates from there. And if you look into others also, including you can see Guru Nanak's life. If you read Guru Nanak, Guru Nanak had no work. He was practically looking for work. And some grocer, they gave him a job in the shop to sell atta and wheat and maida, everything in the grocery shop. So, but what happened to Guru Nanak? Guru Nanak used to measure everything with a, you know, whatever the measuring pot they had them. And he keep on measuring and give it to the customers and to collect the money. That was, he was just like a doing that work. That was his job in the shop. But due to self-realization inside, the burning knowledge inside of the true nature of the self, what used to happen to him was, he'll start counting ek, do, teen, char, panch, che, sat, aat, nau, das, gyara, bara. When it comes to tera, he can't go further. Tera, tera, tera. Everything is tera. Why? The self-realization inside, it's only you, only Krishna who was God, everything is yours. So, because once that realization took over, after tera, there is nothing else. He keeps on putting tera, tera, tera. Now, if you remember, if you keep doing this, what will the employer do? Employer straight away give P60 or P45, sorry. He'll give the P45. Enough. I can't run business like this. So, Guru Nanak lost his job. Tera, tera, finish there. Tera. So, this is what their life was in this world. And same thing with Tukaram I mentioned before. The shop has to be closed down. There was nothing there to sell. People are coming, you can have whatever you want, you take it. Just like the supermarkets tell us. Take now, pay later. Tukaram was saying, take now, never pay. Go, take it and go. This was Tukaram was a better businessman that way, isn't it? So, you can see that their material life in this world was like that. That is, all devotees, Krishna has put them through this. Krishna has put them through this. They had to go through. That's the fire. So, even in, it is only after that, this sincere and genuine inquiry will begin. Up to that point, it's all theory. I can get my certificates, that's all, and hang it up somewhere. And look at them and tell others, I got this certificate, that certificate. Nothing else will happen in life. So, so the interesting thing here is, what creates distress in this world because of our attachment to objects in this world, isn't it? Attachment somewhere. So, so what is interesting here, in Shastram they call it as Virodhabhasam. Virodhabhasam means, it's something very difficult to explain. Everything in this world, because of its very nature, temporary nature, it will give you distress. You know that it is going to give you distress, but at the same time you won't leave it, you will hold on to it as tight as possible. Knowing very well that one day it is going to give you distress, still you will not release your hold on that, rather you will tighten it day by day. This is called Virodhabhasam. Virodhabhasam is that. So, whatever will give you distress, you love all that things. Whichever will give you distress, you will like that. We'll go and catch all of that. And then what will happen? That will catch you. First you will go and catch it. Then that will catch you. This is how it works, isn't it? So remember that story you mentioned before. One man was standing on the river bank with a few others. And one blanket was coming down from upstream, from the river. When he saw that, this man thought, let me jump into the water and bring that blanket, nice looking, good blanket. He saw it was floating in the water. So he jumped into the water, went and held on to that blanket. After a while, he couldn't swim back to the river bank again. So all the people saw him drowning there in the water. And he knew how to swim as well. So he says to him, why don't you come back? Come back. Leave that and come back here, he said. He says, I have left it, but it's not leaving me. What can I do? I have left the blanket, but it's not leaving me. Unfortunately, it was not a blanket. It was a bear. So bear was holding him back now. He can't escape. Everything in this world is like that. We go and hold on to it first. First of all, we didn't know anything. Then we got some interest in something. Every other relationship in this world, every object in this world, if you carefully look at it, you will see that you are the one who has started the relationship first. You went and made the loving relationship with so many people, so many objects, and eventually you are complaining that, oh, now I can't let it go. How can I leave it now? And you are lamenting. You started the business and you suffer from that at the end. Including television, car, everything. It's like that, isn't it? Initially we start, television didn't come and tell me, come and look at me. Did the television tell you any time? Television never tells anyone, you come and have a look at me. But we went and had a look at the television first. After looking at it for a few months or a few weeks, you start, oh, I can't stay without watching the 10 o'clock news or Channel 4 news, whatever. What can I do? I just have to. I keep on saying and going and take the remote with the right hand. So anything in this world, we know that it is going to give us distress, and in spite of that, we will go after them and we will go and embrace them. And after that, we will complain that it's not leaving me. This is how the relationships all begins in that way. So, many habits like that we have created ourselves. And we have created that habit and we have become a slave of that. And then it will not leave us. When will they leave us then? When you have suffered enough in this world and experienced a lot of distress, at that point, the jiva will make a decision inside that everything in this world is nothing but distress. And and up to that point, we will not turn our attention towards Krishna. Our attention towards Krishna. Nobody will go to Krishna up to that point. So, have you seen anyone when they are very comfortably situated, doing very well in life, good, making a lot of money, good family life, good job, good holidays? Have you seen anyone going to Krishna and telling him, Krishna, why you are giving me so much happiness in life? Never seen one till now. At least in the Bhaktivedanta Manara, I have not seen anybody saying like that. So, it is not only Bhaktivedanta Manara, all over the world it is like that. That when things are all going very well, we have nothing to say to Krishna. Only when the distress comes, attention will go towards Krishna. We'll start on next Wednesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.